this was a lot of fun. I recorded this on the grinder at NCBC Gulfport, Mississippi, Naval Construction Battalion Center. It's the home of the East Coast Seabees, the Atlantic Fleet, the battalions. As much as I make fun of the place, God bless you guys. You treat me like gold. I appreciate every one of you. It was an amazing event, and we'll talk about that in the podcast itself, and I don't want to go. I will just say thanks once again, and the audio goes a little bit bad in two places really quick for a very short amount of time. One where colors goes down, because I knew the second I would hit record, I said it on Facebook Live. You can see that on Josh O'Brien is my homeboy or my regular site, but I knew it. Like, the second I hit record, colors would go down really quick. So in the background, you can actually hear colors if you miss it and you haven't heard it in a long time. And you could actually just stand up at attention in your own house if you really, really, really miss it. And maybe don't do that in the car if you're driving. That'd be kind of awkward on the 101 and you get out of your car and you're standing at attention beside it. It probably freaks some people out unless they've been to Kuwait, because you know how they do that at yeah, they actually get out of their car on base and stand. Anyways, that's awkward. So, also, Captain Jeff Powell rolls up at 90 miles an hour onto the grinder. And when we start talking, we kind of walk away from the microphone a little bit because I know he's coming back and we're going to do a show. And it's in the can. It's already recorded. I got to do the intro for that one next. And I'm going to put both these out exact same time. So, this is basically like a companion for the other podcast. And I hope you guys dig it. Check it out. Make sure you write, subscribe, pass this on to your friends and loved ones, and reach out to a veteran and tell them that we miss them and you love them and your friends. And rest in peace, Katrina Zuckerman. We lost a troop the other day, and she was a good person. Love you guys. Dig the podcast. All right, out.
We'll see me the Navy. We can build it. We can fight.
For you that don't know, colors is when they raise or lower the flags. The American flag, it's usually sunset. At 08 in the morning and sunset at night. So, anyways, friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, it's me here. I guess I'm the ambassador of the Seabees now, apparently. I like it. I like the title. Thanks, Captain Powell, for it. I really appreciate it. I think it's pretty cool. I'm here in Gulfport, Mississippi. And I feel like I'm doing journalism, which is cool because, like, one of my heroes is Hunter Thompson, and Dr. Gonzo himself was my mentor in journalism. And speaking of mentors and friends and heroes and leaders, the reason why I'm here actually was because the reason why I came here to Gulfport was they named a fitness center after Raymond Border, who passed away in Afghanistan. You know, this guy... honestly, I didn't really know him, but he was best friends with a lot of people I did know. And that's 5 minutes. I told you the second I hit the record button, shit's going to happen. 5 minutes from now, I'll be standing and you're going to check out the back of my hoodie, I guess, but that's cool. And, we're recording down here also. So, all right, for you that are actually listening just to the podcast audio itself, it might be a little bit choppy because I'm sitting on the grinder. I'll paint you the picture. For those that can see, you understand where I'm at. But for those that are listening at home or in your convenience mowing your lawn, I'm sitting on the grinder where of Naval Construction Battalion Center in Gulfport, Mississippi. Grinder is basically like where people march. Or you could park cars here, too, if you wanted to. In the background, I got the Navy CB right there, the big old B from what back in the CB. See? It's the CB. And this is actually 25 years ago, right exactly where I'm sitting. I read No One Here Gets Out Alive, a book about Jim Morrison and the Doors. So it's really weird coming back to this camp. I get like coming back to Gulfport, Mississippi, because I didn't really spend much of my career here. So I went through school here, and that was it. So I kind of like feel like I'm going to get yelled at for something, because I still have that PTSD from boot camp and A school, you know, when you first get here in the 90s. And yeah, I'm that old. But back to the reason why I came here in the first place this time was because they named a fitness center, you know, a building that builds heroes. And it's really cool because this guy was a badass. He did a lot of... Stevie reappropriation. One of my favorite stories they told about this cat was that when he transferred from one base to another base, all the weightlifting equipment just happened to disappear and go with him to another place. And I thought that was pretty freaking awesome. And that was cool. So, but yeah, when I get here, good old Captain Powell, who's the skipper here, I find this is my seat. This was on the back of my seat. So for you that are listening, it says Mr. Joshua O'Brien from Ohio likes hockey. NMC B40 is still decommissioned because he likes to make fun of he likes to make fun of NMC B40. Not a fan. He wasn't. And anyways, so that's funny. And I talk about 40, and everybody that's in 40 has a lot of pride about 40. So we talk about 40 quite often when we do that stuff. But we're going to get colors. It's going to happen in the middle of me reading this, I'm telling you. But this was the gentleman. This is the guy they were honoring here, passed away. And Raymond Border, Fitness Center dedication ceremony. And it was February 11th, 2011, or 2011. No, 2011 is when he passed away. February 11th, 2022, 11 a.m., CBC Fitness Center. And what I thought was really cool is that's actually the plaque, you know, that they put up in honor of him, you know. So I thought that was really, really cool. And it's you know, like I said, for a gentleman I really didn't know, I'm still very emotional about this, only because, like, the mortality is just so freaking real. I mean, we've lost so many good people, you know, definitely to warfare and definitely to suicide. And that's, you know, not being able to take care of ourselves in a lot of aspects, you know. But the biggest thing, though, is just this whole thing is like, this could have been any one of us. And that's where it really hits home. So a lot of you guys and gals that were on active duty and are no longer, or the people that are still in the fight, God bless you and thank you for your service. You don't realize just how badass you are, and you don't realize the situations you're going to be in. And for these young gentlemen, they had NMCB 133 was there, and they were able to see this building being dedicated. And I know the feeling prior to warfare, before 9/11, I came in the 90s, and you don't really think about it. You know, you don't think this is, like, you know, real until it really happens to you, just like anything, maybe even cancer. But something, until it happens to somebody close to your family, you don't really think about it. It's just a word. And then the mortality of us, it's there. It's true. It's real. And so... not trying to get all fucking sentimental and shit, but that training is very important. What you learn, stick with it, learn, do it, pass it on. Pass it on to the century that relieves you, as we like to used to say back in the day. But I thought this was, there we go. Haven't done that in a very long time. It's like ironing your shirt. I haven't done that in a long time since the other day. Okay, so just kidding. I do iron shirts. okay, this is what I wanted to do, but I knew we had colors coming. But this is one of the things I thought was really awesome that they did. And you know, like I mentioned before, this gentleman, good buddy of Jason Johnson, who's just, hey, what's happening? He popped up, and I had to say that
one of my best buddies from Fremont, Ohio, also a Navy Seabee. And before we lose light, for those that right here. But yeah, Raymond Border is like a BUC. Raymond Border was born. Craig and Julie, Craig and Julie Border, 22 July, 1980, and was from West Lafayette, Ohio. In September 1990, he enlisted in the Navy Seabees, attended day school, went to NMCB1, and I'm not going to read this whole entire thing, but you know. Honestly, it's like kind of hard to read right now with there's almost no light. So it's, and I'm also practically blind. Let's just fucking paraphrase instead of going what the paper says. This guy went out and busted his ass. He was a fucking kick-ass builder. He did a lot of shit for the army in the middle of nowhere. And he was assessing a road that's pretty close to the Pakistan border. And, you know, he died from an IED. And for those that know me personally, and a lot of you fans of the show, you know, that's why it really kind of hits home. And what I was trying to say a minute ago before Colors interrupted is that, you know, that's the shit you do. We used to do like every day, you know, and you go out like on MSR Mobile, you'd be looking at the roads, fixing the roads and all this other stuff. And then, you know, so, and it's like, wow. And then when you see somebody that, you know, actually paid the ultimate price, you know, then you realize just how dangerous that stuff is, you know. So, but like I said, it's good to be here, and it was good to be invited to the dedication of this building for a real fucking hero, for a real gentleman, you know. Pardon my French, but that's how we talk. It made me really like think back to when I was a kid, when I was young, come into the Navy, like the lights are coming on. I feel like I gotta go home. That's how young I feel right now, being back on this base. But there's a lot of things you don't think about, like later on when you go through your career, how young and impressionable you are. There are people I haven't seen for like 20 something years, since I was like literally a teenager. And how young and impressionable you are coming into this thing and just trying to learn how to, like, basically how to live, you know, because when you come in, you still have all those emotions. You're freaking learning. You're basically at the end of puberty. You're just trying to figure out how to be a human being and function in society. And now you get a gun and you have to do builder skills and you have to, you know, be responsible and accountable. And it's really freaking, I don't know what you're saying. I have an ABCB on the bus on the way to Gulfport right now. Brand new builder. Oh, cool, man. So, yeah. So some people are driving people to boot camp right now that are watching the podcast, for those that are listening. But like I was saying, it's really young. We're trying to figure out who to be and who to grow up as. And, like, is this the person I want to be? Is that the kind of leader I am? Yeah, people just driving right through the freaking... I wonder who this might be. Attention on deck, out of all the people. You can't broadcast without express permission of the base. Oh, whoa. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, do I have the express permission?
I'm just saying, this is like a public space here, this grinder.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, guess what? You're fine.
Okay.
I decided. You're good.
Are you sure?
Yeah, what's going on?
Nothing, man.
I'm going to pick up dinner for my family. And
awesome.
Here you are.
Out of all the people. And we're still going to do this Monday, right?
We're still going
to
do something
Monday. All right. Yeah. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, listen to the audio of this later on, or you yourself later.
Right.
I just saw you rolling up, and I'm like, who's this jerk? Just, man.
Who owns this grinder?
And I'm like, I can't wait till Monday. I'm going to show the skipper. So, yeah. Cool, no, man.
I'm going to go stop by and crash the...
No, place, I think it's freaking awesome. Just grabbing dinner. Yeah, I got
my family, so.
Asthmatic. Make sure you report all your asthma problems to the VA. Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
You not at all.
Yesterday in the border thing.
Yeah, that's actually what I was starting to do. Because, you know,
it's a nice post you did yesterday, though. I like that.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I just did this morning. I didn't want to make anything about me.
Yeah.
You know, because that was the whole thing, and that's why I wanted to talk about that though today. It was because this is the gentleman behind this post I was talking about. This is freaking. I mean, it's really cool that you just rolled up like that. Yeah, I showed this, and then I started reading a little bit about that, but
yeah,
but I couldn't read because it's
definitely getting, VIP here.
I appreciate that.
So. Glad you could be here.
Say that again in the microphone.
You definitely are a VIP here in Gulfport. We're glad you could be here. So.
Oh, man. Now, I thought it was really cool, the intro that you gave me. You know, like the CB ambassador. Yeah. And then and it was crazy because, like, after that, I went and had dinner with Andy Halesha, retired steelworker.
Yeah,
and
the
then,
guy that was at the mall.
Thank yeah, okay. weird dude. He's really weird. So anyways, then after that, no, not him. Halesha is. So then after that, I'm getting ready to roll out, and I get a message. It's from a couple guys from 202. Okay. And then next thing, you know, I'm like, I just saw, I was like, come say hi to us. So I was like, oh, I'm going to say hi to one or two people. Next thing you know, I'm holding court in the smoke pit for like 3 hours doing stand-up comedy.
Are you guys here?
No, they're over on a Naval Reserve Center, like on another base over there.
Oh.
So, and it was awesome because like I didn't expect it. I'd rolled up and...
Around here?
They're like, are you real? No. Air National Guard.
Oh,
so,
what are they doing down here? For FEX? Or
yeah, they did, because Jacksonville and, it was Jacksonville and Virginia Beach.
Okay.
So, yeah, so they were the ones that were down here.
Cool. I'll let you get back to it.
No, it's totally cool. I think it's cool.
Yeah. No, I just kind of, you know, on patrol from the base always.
Yeah. We'll leave it as a hot mic, right there.
Actually, I ordered pizza, so I gotta go get it. Anyway, this is cool. So I didn't know
the
you were
bro hug.
I didn't know you were. I was like, hey, he looks like that. I was like, that looks like the grinder.
So, it is.
Yeah, that's funny.
What? No way. No, I just had this crazy idea. I wanted to talk about it, and this is cool for those that are watching right now. But
yeah, I just wanted to kind of like talk about the real shit behind all of this, you know. And like nobody really thinks about the mortality, you know, like when until it happens. Right. You know, like, I don't think about it. And then, like, and it's like, oh, my God, that dude did shit I did all the time.
Right.
You know, and it's like, he.
But he didn't make it back, right.
Right. Yeah. Now I'm here, he's not. And
there were some comments, though, yesterday that people, there was one dude that kept commenting going, you did exactly what I would have done. And did you read any of the comments? And he was like, you're a true, because I got a combat action ribbon, and you got, and it was like, come on, dude. It's not about you, right?
Yeah,
and the other people that kind of pissed me off is, so much work to get that done, right?
Remember your hot mic, so.
Well, that's okay.
Okay.
But people were saying, well, we got to name this building next. And it's like,
right.
I got it, but I'm not going to start that Monday morning, sorry. Right? I mean, you got to let it breathe a little bit, so.
A lot of people need to, but, like, get that generated themselves.
There's a former CB that got out and then, like, devoted 30 years to work at the auto hobby shop,
mm-hmm.
and he just died of COVID since I've been here, like, in the last year, and they want the auto hobby shop named after him. It's just not that simple. Maybe you could make the hay, but he worked there 30 years, but
I didn't realize until the knock gate thing and was how many people, it has to go all the way up.
Yeah.
Way up. Just to, you know, it's not like he was like, you know, it'd be cool. We'll just call this John Belushi Road because
that's why Meshi gave this, hey, this is from the CNO saying you can name it. I mean, it's signed by him. It was a big deal. So, yeah. Plus, I don't know if that, you know, not to get political, but the guy that died unvaccinated from COVID, I'm not sure. Nowadays, we're going
to
get something named after
political, but you're right, because like it will with somebody else. You and I, not.
Right.
But somebody else will get political with it.
Yeah.
And it's very unfortunate, because if you like this, you subscribe to this whole binder of things. If you like that, you subscribe to this whole binder of that thing. So
right.
It's like, yeah. And it's like, no. It's,
okay.
What do you do, as they say?
You're going to blur my license plate as I peel out of here.
Oh, what's that? Yeah. Hey, what I'll do, I'm so fat, I'm just blocking it right now. So, you got it, man. I got my Venom t-shirt.
Hey, I'm good on, by the way, Monday lunch, I'm good on.
Okay, cool. What time? Noon? 11?
11:30. I'll send you a text.
Roger that. Sounds good. Wow. Is that a trip or what? All right. Wow. Is that a trip or what? So, that's the skipper of the entire base just rolling up, watching my live feed. And shows up and we shoot the shit. That's cool. Man, I'm fucking blown away, dude. Like, I'm really humbled. Like, come in here and way to make it about me. No shit, man. I'm really kind of humbled, because every time you go on a lot of these bases and camps, you run into folks that you haven't seen in a very long time, you know, and it's all friends and family, and you don't realize the bonds that you create. And a long time too is for you veterans and for you folks that are on active duty. It's fucking awesome, man, because like there's this family out there a lot of times you don't realize that you have, And never be afraid to reach out to people, because we're all going through the same shit, just a little bit differently and at different times, you know. And it's not a sign of weakness to say I got issues, you know. If you got fucking, you got some shit going on, reach out to your homies, you know. I have no idea what's going on, by the way. Let's see here. We're still recording down here. Okay. And so for the, you know, if you guys are listening to a bunch of jumbled shit, I'm sorry about that. But it's been an interesting show so far. No, but and never fucking be afraid to be yourself, you know. You might have to tone down a little bit on the gruffness and not say some of the bad words. What's up, man? And all that other stuff. It is what it is, as they like to say. But always fucking be you. And Earl Skakel's a stand-up comic who, when I first started hanging at the Comedy Store, that's probably the most important thing anybody's ever told me, you know, because you're trying to learn how to do stand-up comedy or trying to do something else, and fucking, I love you too, JP, and then you try to do stand-up comedy, you do anything, and the most important thing is be you. And I'm so fucking glad, you know, because who wants to be stuck as Larry the Cable Guy the rest of their life? You know, you're not being yourself, and somebody else is like, hey, oh my goodness, now forever, it's whatever the fuck his catchphrase was. I forget what it is. Get her done. For the rest of your life, you're get her done. No, but if you're just you, you're always you. And then I think Bill Hicks had the saying is, no matter what, you're always going to have your own supply, and you'll never run out of being yourself, you know? So, you know, it's really sad, but it's awesome that a building was named after after a CB. And a lot of people will read stories and they'll listen to fucking podcasts and they'll watch Joe Rogan or whomever, and there'll be a special warfare fucking person on there. And I love Joe. I love all those cats. I really don't care about the whole politics. I love Neil Young as well, by the way. But I'm just saying, you'll see all these like gung-ho people and badass, you know, with all due respect, you know, fucking Rangers, Green Berets, but nobody really talks about us. And that's cool. You know why? Fuck them. We're the Seabees of the Navy, Bees of the Seven Seas. It's our song. And the thing about being a Seabee is that we are in every place, every bad place, especially bad places. Like, if you ever talk to anybody who's in the military and have no clue what a Seabee is, they've never been anybody's bad, you know? So fuck them. And you don't really think about what kind of shit we do. You know, this gentleman died working on doing construction on a road in the middle of nowhere. And it would have just been some random ass nameless fucking road. And that's how it is. But one thing I love about Gulfport, Mississippi, sorry, ADD kicking in over here, is you never know what kind of random ass vehicle is just going to fly the fuck by with a kayak on top and like fucking snow skis, or I don't know what the hell that shit is, but it was insane and it just went by. And I think it was probably like, I think that truck probably could have been in fucking some Mad Max movie or something like that. But anyways, never sell yourself short, man. Once again, remember, you're a veteran. You got fucking people that are always out there, brothers and sisters looking after you. And yes, I'm repeating myself because nobody can hear it enough. So anybody got any questions, comments, concerns, anything, shoot me, hit me up right now, and we'll fucking cover this, man. Monday, for those that don't know, or just tuning in, the skipper of the base just rolled up. And doing a podcast with him and getting a tour of this base, going back to the being a teenager and trying to figure out what's going on, and being 19 years old and coming in the military, a lot of us forget how, like I've been saying a million times, how young and impressionable we are. Like, the little things go a long fucking way. I ran into a retired Master Chief Graves when I was at the ceremony, And during this thing, why is the builder pencil flat? Well, that's debatable if it's really flat, okay? Because I believe it's round. You know, I don't believe in flat pencils. I believe in round pencils. That's a question from Tom Carter. And then, yeah, so there's that. No, but when you're young and impressionable, it's talking about fucking Master Chief Graves. The cool thing was when I was on my first field exercise here, he's like, hey, move that Humvee. And I'm like, I don't have a license. He's like, I am your license. Now, can you get it moved? And they're just like, wow, that's cool fucking responses. And like from then on out, I was like, I got you. And I did, you know, and forever. He was just one of those people I knew I could talk with, you know, and he just was very approachable to me. He scared the shit out of a lot of other people. But then again, I got beat up a lot as a kid by adults. So not people my age. I could hold my own. So I really wasn't scared to talk back to adults. But anyways, you just remember like silly little things. And then also I remember the first person that actually teach me how to use the sight aperture properly on an M16. And I was a kid, but that stayed with me for the rest of my life. And those little lessons, don't be afraid to spread those, you know, because if it's not a big deal, somebody's just going to data dump your shit anyway. But if it's a big deal, then they're going to keep it and they're going to hold on to it and cherish it and pass it on forever. Like the ripple effect of leadership is the ripple effect of leadership. It's like a pebble you throw in the water. It just keeps on going. But for every generation, it keeps on going to the next generation, the next people, and the next people. And you keep on, and it keeps on going. And especially right now with being a CBs, being in the CBs, or you guys that are there now, or the guys are looking back at it, is there's a lot of times where there is no war. You know, and our mission, we feel like we're obsolete. Actually, we don't feel obsolete. A lot of other people think we're obsolete until they fucking need us, and then they can't praise us enough. And that's where you have to learn and pass on as much as you possibly can, because you don't know. Like, a lot of this shit, Vietnam was obviously a war, right? You guys know, you heard about it. It happened once way over across the pond. Anyway, so Vietnam was a big ass war that happened, right? And then after that, nothing. You had like Desert Storm, and then during Desert Storm, it was really, I was so young, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful when I say this, but it was a Topps baseball card, you know, collection. You know, I got in a storm in Norman, you know, and not trying to diss anybody, but that's kind of how it was. You just, you know, and you didn't really think about how real it was. And you thought, there'll never be a war. You know, 96 goes by, 97 goes by, a couple years more, it's 9/11. And you're like, holy fuck. Now we have people that are serving that are in that don't know what the world was like before war, you know, but these cats are going to be passing on to the next guys. Hopefully nothing happens in a long time. You know, hopefully we can maintain everything and keep everything at bay. And those cats will have to teach the next guys, and it'll just keep on going. Yeah. The ripple effect never ends. The ripple effect of leadership is just continuous. It will never stop. The only way it stops is if you don't pass on what you're supposed to. All right, what we got going on? Have you spoke to any of the troops? Yeah, of course. And you should come back to Fremont and start a cult. I would. I totally would if people would actually join, you know, that'd be cool. Actually, don't need a cult. I'm a CB, man. I got enough people and enough followers as it is. But the troops, the cool thing is, speaking about how I talked to the troops, was last night was one of the coolest things for me personally. Is one of the builder chiefs that's with down here with 202, they're doing a field exercise, and without numbers and names, we'll just throw a fucking, this dude was out here with a field exercise, him and all of his troops. And I didn't realize it was him and all of his troops. I just thought it was him and somebody else was like wanting to say hi. The male brothers, and that's their last name. It's not because they're boys. The male brothers, one's an officer, one's enlisted. Both are cool as fuck. I was in three with them. And so I saw one of the younger brothers, Sam's here, and Swart was he's a chief down here, were like, hey, come through. So I just thought I was going to stop by us and say what's up and then leave. Come to find out there are 30 fucking Stevies down here, and I'm doing a stand-up comedy show in a smoke pit, and I'm talking about this exact same shit in a weird way down there. And it was really cool. And it was really humbling because you don't realize who you leave an impression on. And that's what keeps me doing this, because a lot of times I feel like I'm just fucking stupid. You know, I'm like, I suffer from imposter syndrome a lot of times, where I think like I don't deserve what I've been getting, you know, and I don't think I work hard enough to be where I'm at. And it's weird. And I think a lot of people go through that the more I talk to people. And the more you're fully transparent when it comes to shit like that, other people will understand, and they'll be like, I'm going through that just as much as you are. And you don't realize it. But anyways, have I talked to the troops was the question. The answer is yes. And it felt really fucking cool. And thanks for having me come out. And then also, anywhere I ever go, you know, those that are still listening and watching, anywhere I ever go, if you send me an invite, I'm going to fucking do the best thing I can to hang out and show up and just chill out with you. You know, friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, that's how the podcast always start. And that's how I live my fucking life. And, you know, and it's just trying to be 100% me, you know, and 100% honest. And if it has to be brutal, it is. And if you have to sugarcoat it, sorry. Sometimes I'll make it palatable. Sugarcoating, I'm not good at. Palatable, yeah. I'll make it sound really bad with humor so that it gets through to you. And that's why I love when people do that with me. So, all right. Well, I feel like this is getting awkward. I'm going to start masturbating. Just kidding. I'm going to start drinking water, though. What else you got, man? Questions, comments, concerns, complaints? Thanks, JP. Hey, you stay you too, brother. If you don't know Jeremiah Hill, Mercenaries, music, rock and roll, fucking extraordinaire. Goddamn love this dude. Good people. And if you don't know him, Jeremiah Hill, he's on here right now listening. And Google the Mercenaries. It's a band. They got some really good music out there, stuff like that. Badass guitarist. One thing I love, and I miss Virginia Beach. And the cool thing is, like, one of the cats from down here from 202 was like, you got to come back. And I'm like, you got to tell the Virginia Beach funny bone that you want me back. If you want me to come to your town, oh shit. Oh, hey, by the way, JP, you owe fucking Tommy Carter, $20 apparently. But if you want me to come to your town, I don't care what town it is. I will fucking go there. The thing is, tell your comedy clubs and all that, put it on the cue card. Cause they'll always say, hey, who would you like to see next? Me. Motherfuck me. You know what I'm saying? If you want me to come, you know, I mean, it's like, I mean, I do that all the time on my own. But I'm saying, if you want me to come to your town or wherever it is, you hit up their comedy club and let them know. And no matter where I go, I always bring a good show with friends. And I've been doing a lot of private parties, and that's been awesome. I mean, what really sucked was when COVID happened, all my touring just went out the fucking window, you know, and there's a lot of shit I was planning on doing. And when that went away, I couldn't do it anymore. And it's kind of sad to say, but you know, you just got to adapt. And Zoom shows are cool for other people, and I'm not dissing it. I just don't feel that instant gratification, you know, doing Zoom shows. Zoom shows to me feels like watching a YouTube video of somebody playing a video game versus actually playing the fucking video game, if that makes sense. So I didn't do it. I felt like I keep my chops going better. I've been writing for other comedians. I've been writing for obviously myself, but not as much. But anyways, that really killed me. And the cool thing is a lot of people have been booking my background or comedy shows and instead of clubs. You know, I think Ryan Tomo was on here, is watching right now. And Tomo did a couple with me. I've taken Travis Carl, to do a couple. And anyways, fucking just tell your club or wherever you want me to come through, and I will be there. And then let's see here what we got going on. Trying to address. All right. So I'm using my phone here, ladies and gentlemen, and, to record this. And yeah, any comments, questions, complaints, concerns, whatever, go through it. Stay in touch. Man, I try to stay in touch with all, everybody. It's almost impossible. But the cool thing is that with this, you know, I can do this, you know, and for those that are still tuning in and digging it, you know, that's awesome. I appreciate you. A bunch of old a-holes talking about each other. Yeah. JP who? All right, so anyways, back to what I was saying. If you want me in a comedy club, fucking hit me up. Hit up your club, you know, and tell them you want me, or, you know. And also, not just me, but whomever you really dig. If there's a comic you dig, do that. Come to VB. I want to. So apparently JP sits when he pees. And the Hines family, Ashley Hines, Pat Hines, I love that dude. And Ashley... their kiddo gets to say one bad word every time I'm there. So their kids love me. And they're like, please come back because I want to say shit. I want to say the SH word. Good seeing you, Josh. Good seeing you, too. Who's in NMCB 40 was your idol? Who in my, and when 40 was my idol? Me. No, what I loved. All right, so here's a kicker. This is what I loved about going to 40. It was me, Andy Bugs, Christy Thrift, Jimmy Redder, Dougie Newman, Jason Veneres, and we were all in A school together. So one of the cool things about going to a battalion and CBs, if you're not familiar, we're very small. There's not a whole lot of us in the military, and very, very small group. And when you go to school together, speaking about young and impressionable, I think a lot of the people that you're in boot camp with, I don't really remember any of them because they weren't CBs, but I remember so many that I was in an A school with, and I did run into a couple. I did run into a couple CBs going to in boot camp. When I was in boot camp, I did run into a couple CBs in other divisions, and I ran into them here. And from, you know, you meet them at service week, which they don't have anyways. Anyway, I met them there, and we come here, and then you go through this new part of your life. Like, you just got these freedoms, man. Like, you didn't have freedoms because you were in boot camp, obviously, for months. And now you get here and you have adult freedoms. And there are a lot of adult beverages. And there's a lot of stupid things that you can do and try not to get caught doing. And a lot of the people I previously named, we did a lot of those stupid things with adult beverages, but underage. And, it's a big growing experience, and you're learning this shit. It's like the first people you meet in school. It's like your first childhood friends, but in the military. You know, so it's like kid friends, but all over again. And then that's what I loved about 40. When we got to 40, we all came together, and, you know, that was really cool. And like I said, all those cats. And that's what I really loved about going to 40, man. But fucking, yeah, Dinger. Like, yeah, Jimmy was a shit, dude. Like, he's the first person to ever say, "Well, Brian, I really don't like you." And it's funny because it happened like right over here. This is, it's so weird being back on this fucking base, I tell you. Because like we're at A school, and this A school building isn't even, what do you call it? The A school building, or housing unit, isn't even the same anymore. It's like Army's in there, and I guess some people get their mail there or something. And which is pretty cool. Driving by that building, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I remember all my childhood silly memories. I remember being scared shitless showing up here, like, what the fuck is this place gonna be like? Like not scared as in like, ah, I'm gonna get beat up, just scared like just trying to figure out how to fucking be an adult. And this dude, his name's Kraft, big motherfucker, throws down a mattress right down, like, it's like four or five stories was the building we lived in, and this mattress went straight down five fucking stories. And you know, and then you see some other guy just running down the stairs as fast as he can, you motherfucker, and he's running down to go get the mattress. And then and I'm like, what the fuck am I in? Is this Animal House? I'm gonna like this shit. You know, and it's funny to say it about Dinger. So when that whole shit went down, back to the whole Jimmy and me thing, is like I was I did 2 years welding before here, so it was like I was cocky, I was a little bit arrogant, I was a stupid kid, I was a skateboarding punk, you know, and fuck everybody, kind of had that little bit of a mentality, but it went away quick, but I had that attitude, and Jimmy's a really smart, by the book guy, you know, and when we were in school, he was, you know, and I'm not going to say anything changed after that, but I'm saying when we were there, I'm a punk rock fucking skateboarder. He's somebody that wants to do this shit the fucking right way, everything the right way. And God bless him for it. You know, smart, pristine, got his shit going on. And I'm a fucking smart ass, caught up, being a class clown. Well, anyways, one day he said, I really don't like you, O'Brien. And I was like, well, fuck, you know, and I'm like, damn, man, nobody's ever not liked me. And then, but it kind of like, what? For real? And then fast forward to like the end of his career, I was his guest speaker. Because throughout high school, we kind of had that brother, like, I don't know, I don't really call it rivalry because we weren't like fucking in competition with each other. We just, you know, whatever. And we went home. He's from Pennsylvania, from Ohio. So he goes home, and then in the middle of it, we're supposed to fly from New Orleans to California. But in the middle of our leave, they told us that our tickets got canceled, and we had to fly out of Gulfport. And we had return flights back to New Orleans. And we're like, fuck. So we get to New Orleans, me and this dude that really don't like each other all that much. And but we just kind of like, it just squashed, you know, we're no longer in class. It just, we end up getting a room together, and, you know, cause our bus that we were supposed to go from New Orleans to Port Wayne or to Gulfport, got canceled. So we had to stay for an entire night, and we just talked all fucking night, you know, just about back home and like all these other things. And just like, wow, this dude, as much as we're different, we're alike. And that's another thing I love about the military, because there's so many different walks of life, and we actually get to know each other. You're like, holy shit, this dude's this is going through the same shit, you know? And I'm like, wow. And then from then on out, he became like my best friend, you know? And then we get to Okinawa, we're on different projects. I'm on the Owasi Seawall, which is basically Rikers Island with concrete. And, you know, he's working on another one. He's with Webster. He's doing it like I think he was like doing a PB, or he's on another project. But from then on out, it was just like, this dude's my fucking brother forever, you know? So that was cool, man. Speaking of going to Dinger, that was the last time I was here for any length of time, was his retirement ceremony. He came here and was a guest speaker. And it's really cool, because it's like fucking weird, not gonna lie, sitting here doing a podcast where I went to fucking A school. Had an old buddy of mine, we were in Iraq together. He used to mess with everybody. So one day I took a handful of drywall screws and threw them under his sheets. That's from Brian Dess. That's fucking hilarious, man. Oh, man. What I love about anything CBs, even this, no matter anything to do with like CBs, especially people that have been out or just haven't seen each other in a long time, it's always, what's up, dude? You know, there's like everybody that's saying what's up, they haven't seen each other in a long time. It might sound silly. If you have an opportunity to go to reunions, go to a fucking reunion. It feels so fucking good just to go see people. And a lot of times it sounds fucking stupid. It does. Cause you're like, oh, why do I need to do that? Cause you forgot how fucking badass you are. You forgot about some of the stuff that you did. And some of the dumbest shit ever really turns out to be some of the most memorable and funniest and fun stuff that you've ever done. And so don't forget about that. Get to these, some of these reunions if they're ever happening and you get the opportunity. What else? Anything else? Anybody questions for me? Anything? Greetings from Isle of Man. Okay. Hey, what's up? Greetings. Uh, 40, man. Yeah, it's funny too, because like if you didn't see that, That was my greetings. I was like, from Ohio, likes hockey, NMCB 40 is still decommissioned. Fucking, oh boy. Well, I guess I'll sign off here in a second. All I can really say, man, is there's so many people I really appreciate, you know, and, yeah, I'm at the base. I'm here in Gulfport, Mississippi. I'm sitting on the fucking grinder. The CB can't see it anymore, but it's back there. It's in the dark. It's in the blue. But yeah. Advice for processing out. Oh, I love doing that. That's some of my favorite. Damn, man, you fucking, hey, you, if you're doing that anytime soon and you still want me as your guest speaker, I'll be at your retirement. Even if you don't want me at your retirement as your guest speaker anymore and you change your mind, I'll still be there. But processing out. So get all, this is the thing, like since you're old like me, if you came in before digital service records, and if you came in before digital service records, get a physical copy of all of your shit. Get your fucking paper copy. One-sided. Copy it one-sided. And the reason why I say that is because just think about some person at the lowest level of entry position showing up working. They're at the VA, and it's a non-rate, basically. And they're not very fucking concerned with your paperwork, okay? They're trying to just get through the motherfucking day. Their wife hates them. They're having a horrible day. So they don't give a fuck about taking your service record and copying it, flipping it, and flipping it. They don't give a fuck. They're just trying to get out and go home. So they might skip four or five fucking pages, and that just happens to be the four or five pages you fucking had a surgery with. And guess what? Now you are fucked because they did not put that shit in there. You have, your fucking record is not there because you relied on some fucking dumb cunt, cocksuck ass but person to do that. Pardon my French. But anyways, yeah, make sure you do one-sided copy of all your old records. And then that way when you, and also keep one for you and one for whenever you turn in. Sometimes they'll be like, oh, we have it all. I don't give a shit. Just make sure it gets somewhere. If they have it, fine. If they don't, whatever. Here's the thing. They're going to do a, they're going to test everything you've done. they're going to test everything on you anyway. So if you have the supportive documentation, that's awesome. If you don't, well, it could fuck you, and it might not, because they're going to, if your lungs are bad, they're still going to do pulmonary tests, or if your joints, not the weed you're smoking, because you're going to be a civilian and it's good. The weed is really good now. But anyways, totally kidding. Not really. So all those paperwork, all that stuff, make sure you turn that in. The digital copy is cool. Also, if you have any mental health issues, which I had, I use me as an example. If you have any mental health issues, make sure you separate that. And because there's going to be another thing too, when you submit that for another part, they're going to want to tear it apart. And if you can do that yourself, do it. Also, you might have to specifically ask for that, because a lot of times they keep the mental health records in a different spot. So you might be like, hey, can I get my medical record? And you get your record, but there's a part that you don't know it's missing, you know? So there's that. So once again, make sure you do that. Also, I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. You need to hit up a veteran service officer. And also go through all your stuff with them, because when you're separating, I'm glad you asked this question. This is my favorite thing. One of my favorite things to talk about, when you're separating and, you're out, because the military trains you to be in. They never really train you well to be out. They're trying to learn. They're doing cool things like Skill Bridge. And I'll be talking with Joe, about that in DC, but that's another story for another time. They train you well on saying it, not getting out. So that veteran service officer is very important. That person is basically like your lawyer. If you don't have one and you're going to, if you've ever been to court, you're going to go to court without a fucking lawyer and a public defender, maybe, you know, but a public defender is still better than anything. And here's where people fuck up is instead of getting a veteran service officer, they will get a lawyer. Some are actually good people. Disclaimer, which is a fucking bullshit. Most of them are parasitic fucking leeches that just want your money. And they're going to sit on how long it takes for your claim to be approved. So they're going to fucking sit on this nut of money. And the longer they fucking wait, these lawyers, the longer they fucking wait means more percentage of that money you take home. Because you're going to make this money. If it's today, cool. If it's later, remember that back pay you get from the day you file the paperwork? Well, these guys are going to drag their fucking feet as long as they possibly can, because the longer they wait, the more of a percentage, or this percentage stays the same, right? 10%, 10% of 100 or 10% of 1,000 is what they're going to get. I'm sure they'd rather have 10% of 100 than a 10, they'd rather have a 10% of 1,000 than a 10% of 100. So if you have a veteran service officer, do that shit. Don't fucking do it on your own. Okay. Like, and I don't care how good you are. And also because they know what they can get away with and what they can't. The VA is, you know, like, and a lot of times too, people feel like, they don't deserve what they're getting. And that's the biggest problem. It's just like, how many times did you fucking lose an e-tool, a fucking sappy plate or some shit, and the military was like, you break, you buy. And that's exactly what you had to do. You had to fucking go, you had to get paychecked. Now, here's the kicker. You are the fucking e-tool or the sappy plate. They broke you, they buy you. You know what I'm saying? So, oh boy. any chance that I can make fun of Todd Bernash? Well, I mean, his beard, like, I don't know, man, he's starting to look homeless, but I still love the dude. I live in LA, so I'm used to homeless people all the time. There's that. So basically, when you file your paper, have a VSO, make sure you do all one-sided of your, in summary, like the back of the fucking, the IGs, in summary, make sure you have a veteran service officer, make sure that you do one-sided copy of your physical medical record, and make sure that you separate your mental health from your fucking regular physical health. So that way it's two things when you set, when you turn that in. And also, be careful on who knows that you're separating. I know it sounds shady, and I always talk about how important it is to be transparent, because it is. But at the same time, there's alternative motives. You know what I'm trying to say. Other people, when they know that you're separating, they're going to look at you and treat you a little bit differently. Like, I knew when I was getting out, I'm doing 20 and I'm rolling. But you know what? I fucking love the troops. And I'm going to do everything I could. And like, right up until the day I walked out, I drove every fucking lunch to White Beach as a fucking right guide instead of delegating it, because I remember being at the Owosse Seawall and they got some of the shittiest fucking cold ass food, as silly as it might sound, but I'm trying to pour concrete and I'm getting fucking cold, wet ass, nasty burritos. You know, and I don't want these kids, and I say kids and lovingly, but I don't want these young troops out there fucking busting their ass, eating fucking shitty cold food and then going back to work. Nah, man. Like, I had nothing but love for the troops. I wanted to keep helping as long as I could until I was out of uniform. But a lot of times the other people don't realize that. They just like, oh, this person wants to get out. Fuck them. You know, and yeah, and like, who was it? And I know Master Chief Holden went through some shit, but like with this, what happened in 4, unfortunately, but, he was my 5 and he knew exactly where I was going. He knew exactly I was getting out and he knew my intentions. And thankfully he didn't treat me like a piece of shit, because there were other people that did, cause they knew I was doing 20 and I was done, you know? And, still some people look down on me cause I didn't fucking make whatever pay grade or whatever. But, you guys are silly. I don't even know what the hell half these guys are talking about. I like a whole nother conversations going on in my threads over here. That's cool. All right. What else you got? Come on. I'm digging this. And for you guys listening to the audio, I'm just killing time and doing the Facebook Live thing here. Who in NMCB 40 was my idol? So that's funny. The person in NMCB 40 that was like my idol wasn't actually in 40 when I was there. It was Austin P. Leadham. And he was my idol throughout a lot of that stuff. But I was in 4 with him. But he was in 40 before. So he's like 40 alumni. And all right. What's the weirdest, strangest deployment you have ever done? Weirdest, strangest deployment I've ever done. You're a part of it. Brian Dess asked, weirdest, strangest deployment ever done? Well, you're a part of it. So was the Okinawa, and I ended up in Pohang, Korea. So I'm supposed to go to Atsugi, Japan, and I get into a thing with somebody, a fucking beef. Shit goes down. And it's funny, too, because, like, the MAC is now my friend on Facebook, you know. But so... I get in trouble, and Tony Knuckles, he's the guy. He was actually the MAC then, and it's cool because we're Facebook friends now. So I hope he sees this. But no, and I joke around, I'm like, that motherfucker hated me. But come to find out, he even forgot who I was. It's just in the back of your head, you think everybody hates you when you're in trouble. I did some dumb shit, and you know, got into a little scrap. Did my 45 while I was on restriction. I still taught SKUs classes, right? And because I just came from the 31st. Iceman, George Freeze, asked me to come to 4 with them. I was like, fuck yeah, because I had to go to a battalion anyway. I'll go with people. No. So I did, and I taught classes for CB Combat Warfare. And so while I'm marching, my students are marching me to the class so I can teach them classes. You know, so like we have chiefs and officers facts. So the fucking chiefs are coming to get me and march me to teach them classes. And they march me back to my restricted barracks. And I remember like we had the whole CBR, chemical, biological, radiological gear. So it's like this gear, if you guys aren't familiar with it, if you're listening to the podcast, you have these fucking, like the schmuck, and these weird pants, and these fucking nasty gloves, weird gloves, and these weird ass boots with these lot of fucking laces and loops and all kinds of shit. And if you don't wear it properly, you could die, you know, in a gas mask to boot. And well, there was a guy I was yelling at, and I was like, told him, I was like, hey, man, you know, you're going to fucking die if you don't put the shit on right. And I tore into him. I was fucking brutal. And come to find out, it was the XO. I was like, hey, you know, sorry about that, but I'm very passionate about this. And in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, I'm fucking going to die. And he was like, no, I appreciate that. And you're right for talking to me like this. And I thought that was really cool. And I was like, oh fuck. And I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to be like bust down to E3 or whatever. Cause I'm on restriction on a suspended bust, 45, whatever. I make second class on fucking restriction. So then they frock me to second, which means the opinion, Austin Leadham and Mike Sigler pulled me aside, and Sigler's like, hey, O'Brien, you're getting pinned on today. And I'm like, holy shit, no way. So they marched me over there, and I got frocked to second class right after I got off restriction. Then they made me a squad leader, and then they sent me to Pohang, Korea with you. And you were there in Pohang Desk, and that was cool. And then they thought it was like a bad place to be, but it turns out it was fucking awesome, man. Like, yeah, it was like probably one of the shittiest places to be located. But I was with the best fucking people, man. Mike Murley was our master chief, man. And matter of fact, I saw Kellogg today or yesterday. He's a master chief now. He was like our fucking, I think he was like a BUCN, you know, a BUCR. He was like our youngest dude on that debt. Matt Dooley's a master chief now, and he was a fucking construction man on that debt, you know? I saw my Murley at a retirement ceremony, like not retirement ceremony, it was a fucking 4 reunion in Vegas. And that was so cool because that ended up being like one of the best things. And then like when I showed up, and it was like so weird, like we're talking about, but when I showed up, he's like, I don't give a fuck what you did before you got here. You know, I just want you to work hard, you know, do what you got to do. And so I went from being a piece of shit, being treated like garbage because I made a mistake. And that taught me a big lesson because, like, anytime for the rest of my career, if I saw anybody on restriction, I still treated them like a regular person. It's like they're not a bad person. They just did a bad thing. Whatever the thing is they did, I don't really know, but they're not bad. They just did something dumb. And that was a big lesson that I learned. I was really young in my career. I'm glad I did that mistake young because fucking I never forgot it. And it was just like, damn, I fucked up. It is what it is. Well, that's better than a NAM. I actually wrote that on a brag sheet once. The block that that said you receive any awards. Man, that fucking that Pohang deployment was dope, man. That was a lot of fun. But it was just like we're small, like very few of us. We had to do our own jobs, and it was great. I was the only like no. We had another steelworker there, and it was Black. Black was the other steelworker. It was me and Black, and but I had to do all this welding, and then the welding was the part I was doing was done, and they wanted me to build some gates and shit for the Marines at the back ass end of the base. So I was like, okay, fuck yeah, dude, I'm down. You know, and so I got my little welder and I fucking drove my truck back there and I'm just up there just welding away. And then I'm like, got my headset on, got a chew in. I'm listening to Blink 182. Shit piss fuck cut, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits pop out. Shit piss fuck cut, cocksucker. I'm screaming my head off at this song. It's horrible language. And, you know, shit piss fuck cut, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits pop, blah, blah, blah. And so I fucked your mom. And, I take the hood off, I spit, I run out of 7018, so I gotta go get some more rod. And as I'm walking, the commandant of the fucking Marine Corps, man, was standing by my welder, listening to me say all this fucking vile shit. And I was just like, hey, sir, I gotta get back. Because if you know welding or metal work, you want to make sure that heat affected zone still stays hot. So I ran back to the welder, grabbed some 7018, went back, finished off my fucking cover passes, cleaned up my welds, and then I spit my shoe and I fucking took the hood off. And I was like, sorry, sir, nice to meet you. I'm SW2 O'Brien, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, these are the fucking CPs of love. These guys are fucking, you know, and he fucking thought it was so funny, man. And he was giggling, and I got a coin and shit. And I was like, oh, this is fucking cool, you know, because, you know, who doesn't love coins? Am I right? So, dude, I've seen your welds. I'm getting you a grinder. No, I don't use grinder. I use Tinder. But anyways, Bumble sometimes. I'm humble on the Bumble. All right, what else you got, man? The CB muster sets. What's that? Thoughts on this CB muster debts. I don't know what that is. CB muster sets. I don't know what that is. What is that? But I think what's really weird is that people don't realize muster debts. I don't know what that is. I don't know what a muster debt is. Is that what they're calling where CBUs are going away? CBMUs are going away and retired CB groups. Oh, I really don't know anything about them. I think they're cool. You know, I know people are doing them, but I think they're like swarms and stuff. And I really don't know if about them. I really should get more information on those. I know Dougie Heinrich is probably the best person to talk to about that. All right, so retired CB groups, and so there's like swarms, and they're like all over the place, and it's pretty cool from my understanding, and I could be totally butchering this, and I could be totally wrong, and this might be bad information. There's your disclaimer. So you have basically a lot of retired CBs, and they get together, and they have like different places, and they groups, and they meet up, and sometimes it's once a week, sometimes it's not once a week. Sometimes it's once a month, sometimes it's quarterly, but a lot of the geographical locations are. So if you're like in a more of a rural area, they're going to be further apart. Like North Carolina, they're going to be like fucking far, far away from each other. And I don't know of any in Los Angeles, you know, because I don't really think there's a whole lot of CBs that are in LA, one thing I do think's cool, you know, and I always bag on Gulfport because, you know, it's just like the other high school football team, because my football team is Port Hueneme and Gulfport's the other one. It was just the rival team. But one thing I do think is cool about here is that the cost of living, you know, so you have, I'm sure they have a lot of those swarms and shit that are around here, but the cost of living is so cheap, man. You know, you can fucking buy a house and retire and just stick right around here if you wanted to, or rent it out while you go somewhere else and then come back. But Hueneme and Port Hueneme, you know, that whole area, it's a lot different, because when you're stationed up there, it's expensive as fuck, you know. So, and then it just keeps going up. It's not like they're dropping the price on anything at all, you know. It just keeps going up and up and up and up. So yeah, let's call themselves debts. Oh, from what I understand. Oh, yeah. So, they're like, some are called debts, some are called islands, some are called swarms. I don't know. You know, it's different things, but I think it's cool. And the reason why I say that is because you have the opportunity to be around other people and remind them what you did, you know, because a lot of times when you leave this and you put the uniform behind, people forget, you know, that they did this shit. And it was very important. And like, while you're in, you have people that this is their entire identity. And in a lot of ways it should be, because this is what you fucking do. I mean, you got to have life after this, because this isn't going to last forever, you know, which, I mean, for some people it sucks. I mean, you don't realize how impactful and how much of your life is so absorbed into like the whole military thing. But when you become a civilian, you got to, you know, put it in the closet. You know what I'm saying? Like, you cut your fucking pants into some cool shorts, you know, because you're trying not to turn those into supply. Wink, wink, wink. So, yeah, man. Patriot's Choice. Sponsored by... No, I'm just kidding. I'm not sponsored by Patriot's Choice. But... basically, what this is, Patriot's Choice is the fucking, this is like the so the Patriot's Choice, this is always funny, because this is like, just probably some four or five people are in the bathroom at some Navy exchange. All right, get the old Patriot's Choice bottles. And they're fucking filling these up. And then they just, all right, put it back on the shelf. And this is all just basically like Navy exchange bathroom fucking sink water. I was like, yeah, it was filtered at the plant. We don't need another filter. So, all right, man, I think I'm going to sign off here, unless you guys got any questions, concerns, complaints. You know, I don't know. Fucking A, man. I will say, thanks to everybody that's been here and fucking, Gulfport Liberty. Yeah, right. Yeah. Todd Pernash still makes me call him Master Chief. Is that weird? Seems odd to me. Nah, it's Todd. What do you expect? Remember, the beatings will continue until the morale improves. Why do you and Todd got a beef? You guys got some beef. All right. I know it's funny, too, because I'm sitting here doing this podcast in the middle of a fucking grinder. There's been people that just run by, and everybody that goes through is like just staring at me like, who the fuck's this motherfucker? Gulfport. It's cool, man. I'm just fucking with. Yeah, there goes another runner. I guess you got to get your nighttime run. All right. What else? What we got? For those that are still here, this was really cool. The skipper, the dude that was here a little bit ago, this is the coin for the whole thing. What do you call it? The fitness center. So this coin right here is the same thing that's on the plaque outside, so that's neat. And then Delbert Terrell. I just did that podcast not too long ago. His show is called, If you know him and you have a chance to shoot the shit with him, tell him, man, this should be a regular podcast people can download and listen to, because there's some really good information that's on that show he does. It's called No Rank Real Talk, and it's really cool. And then this is like Fleet Master Chief's coin, which is cool. You know, so like one side, the other, and then it's just like, you know, real cool. Be consistent, be humble, leave a legacy. So, and his initials, and on the back sides, the CB Can Do, and you know, so that's cool. But yeah, if you guys friends with him, if you're friends with Delbert Terrell, awesome dude. He really needs to make that a fucking podcast that people can just download and listen to. Because, well, when I do podcasts, I'm on a lot of other shows. I edit. You guys have no clue how many of these podcasts I have edited for other people, and I put out there and do the audio, fix the audio. Maybe not editing it, but I'm fixing the audio for it. Like thousands, and that's not even exaggerating. Like fucking thousands of podcasts. And the comedians that you love, if you can think of their name, I probably fucking fixed one of their podcasts. So with that being said, I always like listening to like 3 or 4 episodes before I go on other people's shows, so I have an idea what to talk about. And the consistency of that is really good, and some really good information. And if you're just doing it on Facebook Live, it just lives in a little shell. And it was very humbling and very honored to be on that show not too long ago. So I look great in low light. Dude, I look great after people drink light beer. All right, so talking to Hop Skip over to New Orleans or back to Los Angeles. So no, I'm not. I mean, I'm trying to. I mean, it'd be cool. I don't know, really. I don't know if I'm going there. So Tavern Dash still makes me call him Master Chief. Is that weird? I'm going to Florida after this. Actually, I'm going to West Palm, Delray Beach. And any comedy club that you tell the management you want to see me in, I will be there. And then come to Virginia Beach. Hines, I fucking love you, dude. Like, I was just talking with you about you earlier today in a positive way. Don't worry. But anyways, yeah. So Pat Hines, bro. Seriously, come visit VB, man. I really want to. I want to get out there as soon as possible. Notify the Virginia Beach Funny Bone that you want me there. And I've been saying that several times, but everybody pops in. But talent for real, fucking send them an email, send them a message, be like, hey, we want Josh O'Brien to be here. But I definitely want to get there. I fucking love that town. I was actually thinking about that here. Like, here it's just too fucking humid and shit. Like, not today, but like half the year it's just swamp ass down here for me. And I'm like, fucking, I'm a fucking asthmatic. I'm a fucking inhaler carrying motherfucker. So Gulfport and me just don't get along in half the year. And this happens to be the half the year that's really nice. I actually enjoy being here right now. This is fucking awesome. This is a beautiful night. Look at this shit. And, you know, this crazy partiers out here on the base on a Saturday night. It's so quiet. What the fuck? Anyway, but Tidewater area. I fucking love that place, man. If I could get a job at FM 99, like my own show, you know, because like fucking Rod Fitzwill and I were really good friends when we were at, we worked together for 6 years at the Scope for the Norfolk Admirals. And we worked together 6 fucking years. And I never really had aspirations or a thought process to be on the radio when I was there. And then after I did KLOS in LA for 4 years, that was a lot of fun until Cumulus bought it out, because I went from Cumulus Media to Murello Media, and that's a whole nother fucking ball of wax. And I was just like, yeah, it's time to go. So I just told him, well, that's another story for another time. I don't want to give full disclosure at this moment. I'll talk to you guys personally on why I really left. But anyways, love the show, brother. Can't believe Matt Dooley is a Master Chief. No, I can't believe Matt Dooley is a Master Chief. That's fucking awesome though, dude. He's like, I fucking love that dude. You know, he's always been a good motherfucker, smart motherfucker. Did some dumb shit, but we all do. All right. Boom, boom, boom. All right, Josh. If you had your own show, the FCC would eat your ass up immediately with fines. No, because I would have somebody censoring me. I got in trouble at KLOS because Slash from Guns N' Roses and I were talking about comic books and Funko Pops. And we both have the same, whenever I'm around Slash, same with Duff, when I was at KLOS, we always had the fucking talk like sailors and rock stars and fucking every other word was just like CB deployment sounded like. So after he and I were shooting the shit, he goes in and he's like, oh fuck yeah, man. And if you want to see the shit, like Google or go to YouTube and then pull up Jonesy's Jukebox Slash and you'll have Slash and me, or not me, but it was like right after he and I were talking and shooting the shit in the green room, he would go in and he was cussing right off the bat and they had to like do audio drops. And like, no. And Jones, he's like, hey, mate, you stop it right now. We're going to go to a commercial. We'll be right back. This is Roxy Music. Every dream home is a heartache. We'll be right back. Steam Junk, KDO, 955 KOS. And then he had to go right to the commercial really fast because you only have like 30 seconds of drop or whatever. So it's basically four times you can say a cuss word, three or four times you can say a cuss word on air before they lose their feed, you know? So you're like, there's like a 30 second delay from what you're actually hearing from what they're recording in there. So, but yeah, no, I can be clean. That's the beautiful thing about being a parent. You know how it is. Sometimes you got to be naughty and sometimes you got to be nice. Anyways, what else? Anybody else got anything? I'll stay here all fucking night. I ain't got nothing else to do. Nobody loves me. I'm just kidding. Everybody loves me. I love you too. All right. Anything else? Going once, going twice. Hey, man. So I guess we're going to wrap. And thanks for being here and hanging out with me. And this is when I came here, I came for the building to be named. And Tommy, if you're still here, man, I can't believe you went through that, dude. Like, wow, to be notified about that whole shit. That's some heavy. That's heavy, man. You know. But, yeah, don't forget your mortality, but at the same time, man, while you're alive, folks, fucking live it. And then don't take these days for granted. And I say that, and I feel like such a hypocrite sometimes because I'll sit in my room and not go anywhere for like 2-3 days after I just did a lot of shows or did whatever and hate myself. I think the world hates me. And then you go out and you're like, no shit, the world really fucking loves you, dude. It's just you're in your own head. And sometimes you just need to get the fuck out of your own head. And I'm telling full disclosure here because I don't want you guys feeling the same way, because we all do at times. We all go through some shit where it's in the back of our head. We're like, nobody really wants to see you. Nobody loves you. But it's stupid because people do love you. People do see you. And like, if you're listening to me right now, thank you. You know, I fucking love you. So anyways, without further ado, it looks like we're going to wrap. And, So, you know my favorite things to say here. For all those I followed, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I led, thanks for making me a better person. And remember, folks, keep your chin up. Don't let the bastards get you down. Fuck the bozos. And never forget, Obi, that's me, loves you. All right. And we're going to hit off on the audio here. Nobody else? The Stevies of the Navy. We can build it. Where we are. do something different today. I'm recording an intro with an old buddy of mine,
Brandon Hill,
who is a friend of mine from the Fighting 40. I recorded a podcast on the Grinder yesterday, and Jeff Powell, captain of the entire base, rolls up, and he loves 40. It's like, it was like one of his favorite battalions. And he came by, and he's like, let's talk about 40. And it was really cool. And I want to say thanks to Mr. Hill, because he put me up for a few days while I'm here visiting Gulfport. And it's cool. What do you think about Gulfport, dude? Like,
honestly, not a fan.
Not a fan? Okay. No. All right. That's not the answer I thought. I thought it'd be like, I love it here. No. But
no, the people here are nice. I just don't like the base all that much.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's small, tiny, and stuff like that? Or
yeah, pretty much.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to negative vibes already.
I mean, it could be worse, but it's what you make out of it.
I got to be honest, because since I went through A school here, like, that's my entire life is just there. When I go through that base, I feel like I have PTSD of a sort, because like I'm thinking some petty officer is going to pop out of nowhere and yell at me to do something differently, or, you know, or I have to be at bed by a certain time.
Or get off my grass.
Yeah. Get off my grass. Purposely, I'm walking around on grass. And for the ladies and gentlemen who don't understand the military, is the grass is sacred. You do not walk on that until, like, you're E5 and above for the most part.
Unless it's PT grass.
Oh, yeah. PT grass, that's a whole, yeah. Physical training grass is a whole other story. And then it's like coming back to my hometown after I haven't been there in so long, because like we used to run around in the Grinder, which was just a parking lot, another Grinder, which is just another parking lot. Now there's a huge, massive building. There is a gas station like across the street from right where the barracks were. You know how easy that would have been to be able to just go get a soda pop whenever you wanted?
A lot easier than that old crappy one by the exchange was.
Yeah, that was bad, man. You got all kinds of positive vibes about Gulfport, Mississippi.
Yeah.
No, but it was really cool seeing a lot of good friends, people I haven't seen in a long time. I haven't seen like Andy Halesha in 20 something years. Reed, I haven't seen him for a few years, but we message each other on Facebook all the time. Force Mash Chief, Delbert Terrell, that was awesome, because I was just on his show, Real Talk, No Rank, and saw him at the thing. And we'll talk about the thing in the podcast itself. So, you know, thanks for tuning in and checking out the show. Did you get any love? Anybody you want to say hi to out there that might possibly, like my 7 listeners that might listen to this?
All 7 of them, hi.
Yeah. So Dougie Newman, basically. Yeah, basically. That'd be about the only one that you probably know. So, anyways.
Oh, and Dinger.
Dinger? Yeah. Dinger. I love Dinger, but he don't listen to my podcast anyway. When we talk about, you know, matter of fact, I talk about Jimmy Redinger, and I talk about why he was the first person ever to be like, "Oh, Brian, I don't like you." He said that to me. Talk about that, because somebody asked about that or asked about stuff. Anyways, we'll go on to the show. Anything else you want to say before we intro this stuff?
No.
Fighting 40. What do you think of Fallujah?
It was an explosive experience.
Whoa! All right, that's a very good answer with that. All right, check it out. Well, let's cue the CB song. Should we do that? We should cue the CB song.
I mean, we could.
Yeah, okay. All right. I'm going to edit this part. So this is when you'd be like, fuck yeah. All right.
Okay.
Because it's a punk rock version of the CB song.
Cool. All right.
So there's that. All right. Hey, so all right, we're going to cue that CB song. I did. Not the traditional one. So hope you guys dig it.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's do it.
All right. It's Hoorah.